Hello, everybody.
Love
this
Talk
is
Radio.
Mary.
What?
Fine.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. Tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me, and all. Stand by me.
Good evening, everybody. This is Mary with Be Unique Unscripted, and I have with me Jennifer.
Hello.
And we are waiting for Carrick Felix to join us. He should be in any minute. He was driving just a few moments ago when I talked to him, and as soon as he gets an opportunity, he will give us a call. And I just got a text message from Dan Schaub, who is one of our writers with Be Unique. He told me that he spoke with Carrick earlier today and got some great material for a story. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to believe this young man. He was an All-Pac 12, and I'm not sure what that means, basketball star at Arizona State University. He earned a master's degree in communications, and he was drafted into the NBA by the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, he's pretty smart, he's pretty athletic, he's pretty good looking too. But he had a crippling knee injury that sidelined him for a while. And in 2017, after a grueling rehabilitation, I don't know how long he was involved in that, he actually made the cut to play for the Washington Wizards. But, you know, we didn't intend to talk to Carrick about sports, although we might have to squeeze that in if he shows up. Meanwhile, Jennifer, I think it's you and me.
It is.
What shall we talk about?
Well... You know, it's funny when you get all prepared and you think you're going to do you know, something in particular, and then you're forced to have to talk about something, your brain just kind of goes blank. Have you noticed that?
I do. And I know that it's called Be Unique Unscripted, and we're supposed to not have a script. And typically, you and I don't have any problem talking about anything. And
no.
I think we can do that. We can do that now because I don't know if our listeners realize this or not, but you and I often get together and talk about things that are going on in the world, things that are going on with Peace Corps, which is our parent organization, the nonprofit that started this whole thing. And I know that Lynn, who was with me a few months ago on one of Yvonne Mason's Off the Chain shows, she is one of our founders. She and I were on Yvonne's show when you were in Seattle, I believe, and Alaska. So now that you and I are together, Miss Lynn is in Manhattan on Broadway, actually, with her son, watching King Kong the musical. Who would have thought?
And she said
that they would think
she said spectacular. At least what she sent us during intermission, she said that it's spectacular. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think
that's amazing.
I didn't.
So you know,
next
time we have a show, though, I think I have to go somewhere.
That's probably what's going to happen because that's usually the trick.
Actually, that is going to happen. Actually. In March,
you know,
I think I'm going to.
One thing I would like to talk about before Carrot gets here is we were kind of talking a little bit beforehand about. Is he here?
Carrot. Yeah, well, he called in and was rejected. Yvonne, what do we do?
Tell him to call in at 516-387-1756. He might have dialed a wrong number.
All right, give me that number again,
516-387-1756.
Oh, I probably transposed the number. I just put it 1756. 527-387-1756.
No. 516-387.
This is all my fault. 516-387-1756.
Correct. It's okay. That's why the master show is called Off the Chain. Anything can happen, and usually does.
Yep.
No biggie.
It's like the story of my life.
Yep. I gave him the wrong number. And I've had a Monday all day long. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the show Office Space. But there's a scene in there where a woman's having a really bad day and the guy says, "Are you having a case of the Mondays?" Well, I've had a Monday all day long.
But it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is their first show and they are learning, and that's okay. I remember my first show 3 years ago. So it'll all be fine. We just roll
with it.
And there he is. Hold on a minute, ladies.
Yay!
Hold on. Eric, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi,
welcome to the show. All right, ladies,
take it away.
I apologize. I gave you a wrong number.
That's okay.
I think I had a little dyslexic moment there. I'm not sure what happened, but I typed in the wrong number. But welcome. We're so glad that you're here. And I understand you talked to our writer, Daniel, today.
Yes. And I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I mean, Daniel was awesome to kind of talk to.
He is amazing. He's listening in. And now that he's got our number, he can probably dial in if he wanted
Daniel.
To. Yeah, we've asked people to text in on Twitter and Facebook if they have any questions. So we'll just have to keep checking that and see if anybody's bothering to listen to us. But Jennifer and I are just so happy to have you. I was explaining to the audience, because we're kind of borrowing Yvonne's audience right now. She has over 250,000 listeners, I think. But it was explaining how you were, but maybe you can explain to me, because I don't even know. I wrote this down, and I have no idea. What is an All-Pac-12 basketball star? What does that mean?
What was that? I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear you. What was that?
All-Pac-12?
All-Pac-12. It's I played in the Pac-12 conference. It's a conference. So it's the conference with a couple schools out here in the West Coast. I went to school at Arizona State and played basketball there, and it was just an award that I got for just achieving some basketball stuff. Nothing crazy.
Well, I'm in awe because I can't even type in the correct phone number. And I know that you were an at-risk student when you were younger. And you got a master's degree in communication, so I figured you'll be easy to talk with. And, I mean, you got a lot going on that I'm in awe of. But would you be interested in telling us a little bit about how you prevailed through being bullied to become an inspirational speaker?
You know, it's kind of just been a part of my life ever since I can remember. You know, growing up, I didn't really have the best, as you can say, household and upbringing. And I was bullied at a young age and told that I wouldn't be able to accomplish certain tasks like graduating high school, graduating college, and even just finding a job. So, you know, over the years, I've just realized, you know, that with everything I've been through and every lesson, you know, there's a blessing in it. And it's just something that for me, it just comes easy. You know, I love impacting people. I love seeing people being able to accomplish their goals and being able to reach their full potentials and unleash their greatness. And I've just been able to kind of leave the sport of basketball and be able to do that. And it's just been a blessing because it impacts my life. But, you know, I'm happy that I get the chance to impact people's lives through the lessons I've learned in my life and, you know, help them find the best version of themselves.
Do you think that's pretty awesome. This is Jennifer, by the way. It's really nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you too.
When I hear stories about people that have had to endure a lot of really rough beginnings, it's almost like you become a strong person because you've had to deal with it. Now, I read I did see you have a mom who's really supportive. Can you tell us?
Yes.
Her influence?
My mom, yes. My mom is like, she's like my heartbeat. You know, without her, my mom's like, my mom's my heartbeat, and, you know, my daughter's my life. So, but before I talk about my daughter, I talk about my mom. My mom, you know, she's just, you know, for her personally, she's just been through a lot in her life, and to see a woman like my mom battle through the adversities and go through the things that she's gone through and just her resilience and her just being so strong. I mean, it's almost like she just has superpowers. It enables me to just know that no matter what I do, that I'm going to be okay. And she's taught me to hold my head up high and believe in anything and everything and know that I can accomplish anything. And she's been kind of like that, kind of my guide to all this and pushing me forward and just allowing me to be myself. And I think, you know, nowadays you see a lot more parents doing it, but, you know, I'm blessed to have a mom that didn't push me to do things that I didn't want to do. And I'm blessed to have a mom to understand that I was gifted and that I was special, and she attended to me as needed and allowed me to explore my different talents and gifts. So I'm just so thankful to have just such a strong woman in my life and just have her just continue to just guide me. So,
yay, mom. All us moms out.
Wasn't she a basketball coach when you were a short little kid?
No. So I wish. My mom, when she was younger, she played volleyball. She was a very, very good volleyball player in the state of Texas. But as she got older and had kids, she kind of stepped away from the sports world. And, you know, she was just a mom. She raised us. And, you know, it's crazy because, again, I talk about my upbringing. And my mom, she doesn't have a, you know, high school education, but she's a very smart lady, very beautiful, very driven. And she just gets stuff done. And she just raised me and my two brothers to be great men and just good examples. So, you know, she really didn't teach me too much about, you know, basketball, but she taught me a lot about life.
That's what mamas do.
Yeah.
And that's really, I'm sure she is so proud to see what you've done with your life.
Yeah, no, she definitely is, for sure.
Would you do us a favor, just coming from you, because Mary gave a little bit of a rundown before we got you on, but can you kind of give us a timeline of just some of the experiences you've gone through?
Yeah. Where do I start? You know, I mean, I can start from a young age and kind of just trickle down, you know, at the beginning of my life. I didn't, you know, I was like everybody else. I had a mom, dad, you know, two brothers, had a family. I was in a military family, so I traveled all across the states and moved all the time. And, you know, at a young age, I talked about the bullying and the stuff with the teachers. And, you know, I remember, you know, in second grade, one of my teachers had called me, you know, stupid. And I didn't realize the effect that it had on me until kind of later in progression of my life. And when it came to me applying myself to work and really, you know, digging in and then getting my stuff done. And so I didn't really realize how much it affected me then. But not just only that, just with the education part and being in special ed from pretty much fifth grade all the way through high school, you know, I had to deal with things at home as well. You know, I didn't have the perfect family, as you can say. You know, I had a dad who was an alcoholic who physically and mentally abused my mom consistently. And, you know, it was around 2006 where, you know, I had to, you know, I unfortunately had saw my father cheating on my mom with another woman. And, you know, I had to kind of break the news to my mom, but, you know, it was a daunting day. You know, it was very eerie. And, you know, for a young kid, high school kid, to have to go tell the woman they love, like, hey, you know, my father, the man you love, is with someone else. You know, I think that was a hard thing for me because my mom, you know, that's all she knew. She left Texas, mm-hmm. and she left high school to be with this man for, you know, over 20 plus years. And, you know, that's all she really knew. So just breaking that news to her in 2006, it was hard because, you know, I had to pick her up, and she, you know, she collapsed to the floor. And, you know, it was a hard, very, very hard time for her to kind of break through and, you know, she's dealing with some of the stuff she was dealing with mentally. My mom's she's a pretty sick lady, and she's had, you know, breast cancer and dealt with MS and has dealt with tumors and different types of surgeries on her stomach and things like that. So, you know, just to see the toll that it took on her at that point in my life, it was tough. You know, it was tough as a kid to grow up and really, you know, try to figure out how to become a man without a father. And it's definitely hard, but, you know, like I said, I'm blessed that my mom was there to kind of we were there to pick up my mom, but my mom was able to hold it up, you know, hold strong enough to be able to guide us in the right direction. And me and my brothers were the first to really, you know, graduate from college in our family. And, you know, we've been able to do things the right way. So it's been a journey. But from there, you know, we fast forward to kind of college, my college career. And even high school, you know, I had a 1.3 GPA in high school. No, we ended up graduating, go to college, go to junior college first because I didn't have the grades to go to a four-year school. After I finished junior college, I was the first player ever in basketball history to sign to the Duke University, to Duke University. So that was something very special. Just working hard. And then that didn't work out too well. And then I ended up going to Arizona State. And, you know, throughout my college career, you know, I had my ups and downs, but I definitely, you know, for even though I was successful and I did experience, you know, some great accolades, I also experienced, you know, great adversity at the same time. You know, I was a kid in college who, you know, got distracted with the girls and the drinking and you know, dabbled in things I shouldn't have been dabbling in and lost focus and lost, you know, kind of my sense of purpose. And, you know, I kind of was down on myself a little bit, and there was a lot of other things going on that kind of triggered that effect. And, you know, it was about my junior year of college where, you know, I was having a child, you know, I was having a child. And, you know, at this time I don't come from a family that has money, and unfortunately I didn't have the means to, you know, kind of support myself and support the mother of my daughter as well as have a child. So long story short, I ended up being homeless. I was living in my car and you know, just trying to go through life with a smile as best as I can. And I was hiding it a lot from individuals and people, and, you know,
so
which
people
made it.
What situation you were in?
Yeah, just the situation I was in. I was hiding it in college a lot because, you know, in college I was, you know, a good player. I was considered what most would say a college star. And a lot of people see what's happening on the outside and see all the accolades and the good things that are happening, but they don't see everything that's happening. They don't see everything that's happening behind the closed doors. And, you know, and I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. So, you know, I was going through things. I was going through, you know, dealing with habits and you know, this different addictions and so on and so forth that I had to fight through and battle through. And then, luckily, I remember this moment like it was yesterday. I was able to I played one of the best games I've ever played in my college career. After the game, they grabbed me, got an interview, and, you know, everything was fine. I did the interview, and you know, after the interview, I ended up going home, and I kind of watched the game on TV, and then I watched the interview, and I looked at myself and I was just like, man, like, who is that guy? Like, I had bags under my eyes. I didn't recognize myself. Yeah, and I was just like, man, like, I didn't really remember even the game, like, to really enjoy it and take it in as a memory. And then, you know, even after that game was a life-changing moment for me because it got to the point where, you know, after I got the interview done, I got dressed and I was walking down the tunnel with my mom, and we walk outside and we were walking to my car at the time. And at this point, no one knows anything that's going on. So, you know, I'm still trying to play it cool. And one of my assistant coaches, Coach Diedrich Taylor, came outside and he ran after me and was like, hey, let me talk to you for a second. I was like, all right, that's fine. And, you know, he's talking to me. And as he's talking to me, he just puts his hand on my shoulder and just tells me it's okay. And I'm just like, you know, I'm a college kid. I'm just like, what are you talking about? It's okay. Like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to go. I'm trying to go home. What are you talking about? It's okay. I just had one of the best games I've ever had in my college career. So, yeah, I know it's okay. And then he just kept saying, like, hey. Yeah, I know. So, but then he kept saying, like, hey, it's okay. Like, I know something's going on. I can see it. And you just have to let go. And as soon as he said that, I don't know what happened, but I literally just broke down in the parking lot in tears, basically to my knees, and kind of just let him know everything that was going on, just off the court, living situation, family situation, and that I was having a child. And that was the first time, like, my mom as well got the notion that I was about to be a dad. So that was kind of a life-changing moment for me in college. But it helped me become the person I am today. And, you know, without having my daughter at that time, I don't think I would have gotten to where I've gotten to and be where I'm at today, because she's probably the biggest motivation, not the only motivation, in my life. And, you know, I love her to death, and she's my everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's my everything. Yeah. But I was able to, again, yeah, so I was able to. What was that?
How old is she now?
So she's 6 now. She just turned 6 last July. Yeah, just turned 6 last July.
She's a big school girl now.
Yeah, she's a big school girl now. Big school girl now. She she definitely is. Yeah. She definitely is a lot older than 6 years old at times. But all little girls are sassy and have little attitudes early. So I love it. She probably has
daddy wrapped around her finger.
No, oh, yes, she does. 100%. She has me sold. I mean, she's my life. I would love to have another little girl. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, after college, you know, I was able to get drafted, and it was a blessing to get drafted, you know, into the NBA draft. And I played a couple of years in the NBA, but I also experienced some adversity in the NBA, and I was, you know, my second year, I ended up breaking my knee in half going up for a dunk. And, you know, after I broke my knee in half, you know, I was out for about 2.5-3 years. So, you know, you can only imagine –
wow.
Making your goals, achieving the highest success that you can in your field, and pretty much having it stripped away from you, having everything just pretty much taken away from you. And that's kind of what happened with me, is that I had everything I've ever wanted, and then it was all taken away. And I didn't really know how to deal with it and deal with what happened, because originally, when I broke my knee, I was only supposed to be out for 6 to 8 months, and then the 6 to 8 months turned into 3 years, and 3 years basically turned into 3 different doctors telling me I would never play again. So it was an eye-opening moment for me. There was a huge time period where I fell into a deep depression, and I didn't really know what to do or what my identity was, because my whole life I've played basketball. That's what I knew. So, you know, I had to kind of figure it out. And, you know, there was one day where I kind of just looked myself in the mirror, and I was like, hey, you know, you can't just keep being like this, man. You can't just keep being in this hotel, you know, in the dark, in this room, you know, just having the self-pity, because you have a beautiful little girl to feed. You have a beautiful little girl to show the world to. And, you know, that helped me kind of get out of the rut. Year and a half rut I was in. And it allowed me to just really just open my eyes to life after sports and what I was truly capable of and living out what I believe is my purpose. You know, I didn't wake up one day saying I wanted to be a motivational speaker and I wanted to, you know, travel the world speaking and teaching. It's just something that just came naturally, and I just felt like it was my calling. And
That is so cool. Because one of our questions just came on Facebook. Tim Fox, he's one of the Be Unique Magazine ambassadors, and he volunteers with us. He had a question about that. I just love that you pre-answered it. He said, I understand you had challenges through life, and I can appreciate that. What was your breaking point that motivated you to become an inspirational speaker? And but you didn't actually have a breaking point. It just kind of naturally progressed that way.
Yeah, it just naturally happened. And honestly, that's kind of how I feel with a lot of things. You know, a lot of people stress over, like, what they're going to do, and a lot of people stress over, you know, what their purpose is and what they're, you know, trying to find something they're passionate about. But I always say, you know, when you sit still in the middle of the storm and just let it pass, then whatever it is that you're seeking, whatever it is that you want, it's right in front of you. You just have to keep doing what you're doing every day and just allow it to kind of form and happen for itself.
Some kind of guru?
I don't know about that. No one considered myself a guru. I'm just blessed. That's all I can say. I'm just blessed, and I've been blessed enough to go through a lot of different situations and circumstances that allowed me to just build this knowledge and be able to just reflect. You know, I spent a lot of time doing self-discovery and reflecting on who I am as a person and who I want to be as a person, you know, 10, 5 years from now. So
have you put any thought to where you see yourself in 5 to 10 years, or even let's just start with 5 years. Where do you see yourself?
Yeah, no. I put a lot of thought into my 5 to 10 year plan, and you know, I see myself impacting as many lives as I can. And I gave myself a goal. I wanted to impact and change and touch and move over a million people within the 5 to 10 year span, and be able to pretty much travel and teach in different countries and on different continents. And whether you're gray, green, blue, black, white, purple, red, speak Mandarin, Chinese,
that's the color of my hair.
German. There you go. No matter, you know, the way, shape, or form, you know, I want to be able to touch and impact as many people's lives as I can all over the world. So that's kind of my mission and my goal. And, you know, all I got to do is keep my head down and keep moving, and I know everything. It'll fall into place. It'll fall into place, so.
Where can people actually hear you? Do you have a place? Can you tell us where we can – is there a website we can go to find out more about you?
Yeah. So you can go to my website. It's called imcfamily.com, and the IMC just stands for Inspire, Motivate, and Change. That's kind of my motto, is to inspire, motivate, and change as many people's lives as I can by pretty much just helping them self-discover who they are, and also just allowing them to understand that your recipe for success is unique, and I'm willing to sacrifice my time and I'm willing to sacrifice my life to help you pretty much discover the best version of yourself. That's kind of what IMC kind of stands for. But you can go to imcfamily.com. You can also check me out on Instagram, which is Carrick Felix on Instagram. And where else is there? Is there anything else? LinkedIn as well. If you guys are on LinkedIn, you can kind of check me out. It's Carrick _Felix as well.
I found you, I think, on both Instagram and LinkedIn. Are you on Facebook at all?
Oh, yes. So you can follow me on Facebook as well on the page. It's Carrick Felix, IMC. Mm-hmm. Or you can just search Inspire, Motivate, and Change, and the page should pop right up.
I love that, Inspire, Motivate, and Change.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think you are.
Thank you.
Tim Fox is on a roll tonight. He's got more questions for you. Have you got a minute to hear?
Yes.
You would like Tim. He's really, really cool. I like
really?
Him a lot.
Yeah.
He's just one of, he's a very quiet guy, but he's very powerful. He says a world leader speaking about toxic a world leader speaking about toxic masculinity recently stated, "If you're confident about your strength, you don't need to show me by putting somebody else down. Show me by lifting somebody else up." What is your experience with toxic masculinity? I can't get the word.
He's true. I mean, a lot of males, and you know, a lot of males do this because we're prideful, and you know, and speaking for males, females, I just talk to people in general. So there's a lot of people in general, you know, when things don't go their way and when life gets hard, like they think the best way to go about things is, you know, pointing the finger or trying to drag somebody else down when they're negative. And what they have to realize is, it's just like, you know, by bringing positivity into your life. And for me as a male, to embrace and serve other people, that your blessings come a lot faster. Your blessings come, you know, in tenfold. You know, they always say, you know, you give, then take. But a lot of people want to and not give. And I think that's a huge thing. And for guys, you know, you want to talk about males, I think it's a huge thing because we're prideful. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to be vulnerable because we want to feel like we're strong. And one thing my mom has always told me that just resonated with my life is just that, you know, a closed mouth will always go unfed. So I always make sure that, you know, if I feel something and if I need help or anything, you know, to ask for it. And not only ask for it, you know, lift others up in the meantime, because it's gonna bring me a lot closer to the end goal.
Right.
Not only that, I get a chance to impact someone's life. I get a chance to change someone's life, not tomorrow, but today. And by changing their life now, who knows what that does for them? Who knows what trickle effect? And now maybe they're changing someone's life. You know, and now that maybe they're that person, they changed their life. Maybe now they're touching 4 or 5 different people. So I definitely mean that, yeah.
And that's the thing about it is that so many people, I've heard people say, oh, you're just being such a Pollyanna person. You know, you're always thinking about positivity and all this stuff. And the thing is, what people don't understand is that it's such a network. So it's like, it's not Pollyanna. It's actually, why live negative? Why not do something positive? Why not show people that there's, I'm so tired of not showing hope. And I love your whole story is all about hope, you know, that you can be faced with all these, all the adversity that you've been through and told no constantly. And I can't even imagine, like, you know, because my family, my 4 kids are all ADD. My husband's ADD. And they've been told all their, well, you know, in the very beginning, I remember my son, they told him that, you know, he needed special education and he was never going to go anywhere. And then they found out when they actually did testing that he had a really high IQ. It was his ADD, you know. I mean, it was something he didn't have any control over. And did you say that you had ADD?
Yeah, no. So when I was a child, they said I had ADD, but same thing. You know, they did my IQ test. You know, there's some places where I had some learning challenges. You know, I had learning challenges with comprehension and reading, but in other places, you know, I scored very high. And the thing about ADD, what people don't realize, it's not really attention deficit disorder. It's just they don't like whatever they're doing. You know, they need to focus. You need to find something that's going to allow them to focus. You need to find something they like to do. And I think that's the biggest thing, because for me, my mom realized at a young age for me that as long as she kept me active and doing creative things and things that I wanted to do, then I could focus. You know, I could focus on basketball and learning plays. I could focus on skateboarding and learning new tricks. And even in school, you know, I had different learning methods. I wasn't a kid who could, you know, read a book and the teacher asked me a question and I'm just like, all right, here's the answer. I'm a visual person. I can see the teacher do a math problem and then I can literally, then I'll just know it for the rest of my life and I can copy it and, you know, cut, copy, paste and just keep doing it. But if, you know, she tells me to open the book and you write all this stuff down, then it just goes in the air out the other. But it's just, to me, again, it all goes back to your recipe to success. And everyone has their own recipe because everybody's built unique. Everybody's built unique and everyone's special. So it's just finding that out and actually taking the time out to discover that.
Ladies, may I make an interjection here?
Of course.
Absolutely, Yvonne.
Just about everybody in my family is ADD or ADHD. And when I researched it for my grandson, what I found out is some of the most prolific people in our history had that uniqueness. Albert Einstein comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton is another one. And if you go back and look in history, so, Carrick, count yourself among the greats, my friend.
I would say thank you. Not yet. I'm on the road. I'm on the road to continue to try to be great. So.
But you're already great.
You can. There are different degrees of greatness, and you know, we're all on the same journey, I think.
Yes.
I think he's done a lot in his young year.
Yes.
I mean, he's got a lot. You're a young guy. You're like, I think, in the age range of my children. So.
Yeah, I'm 28. I feel old, though. So.
I'll tell you what I told my kids when they hit 30. They both called me up one day and said, Mom, you're the mother of an old man. And I said, son, you can't be old until I'm old. And they didn't like that answer. Timothy has another question for you, though. I think we're going to bring Timothy into all of our Be Unique Unscripted because he's got some really great questions. He said, what do we need to do as a society to counteract the effects on our youth? It's a follow-up to the toxic masculinity question.
So, to answer that question, I think we need to be more present and just more consistent. You know, I think a lot of what a lot of people are doing now is they're shifting to where the world's shifting, and that's towards technology and the phones and doing stuff like taking the easy route out. And one thing I've realized is if you really look at the youth right now, you'll see that there's a very high, very, very high just change in the depression rate because a lot of these kids are looking at social media, which is giving them what I personally like to call the perfect perception. So now they're comparing themselves. So you have the young girls that are comparing themselves to the Instagram girls that have the filters and the fake noses and the fake butts. And then you have, you know, these guys that are looking at people that are, you know, making the money quick and not going to school and doing businesses and kind of just, it's almost like they're giving them a facade of what real life is like. And what I've noticed is a lot of kids are getting caught up in that and they're not understanding who they are. So I think to change that with society, like we have to just be more present and consistent in these kids' lives and start getting them to understand earlier, like, hey, you got to start discovering your own identity. I know you want to be, I know you like Beyonce, I know you like the Jay-Z's, but you have to understand that that can be you. You have to discover your own identity. You have to discover the things you like, the things you, you know, dislike. And I think if we can just do that and just be more present and just build that connection, I think it'll bridge the gap between this, you know, the older generation to the youth and really change their lives so they can again, start changing the world as we go, because see, they're the people of tomorrow. The youth is the future, and we have to be very, very, very cautious now of what we're feeding into their heads, because a lot of these kids they're believing it. And the more present we are, the more real we can be, the more vulnerable and open we can be. I think it helps. And you know, I work with kids all the time, and I mentor kids, and just some of the things they say to me, and you know, they talk about self-esteem, they talk about, you know, suicide, and they talk about these different things. And you know, when I was young, I didn't really think about this stuff. And you know, so I was talking to a kid probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he was telling me how it was cool to be depressed now, because now you can post it online and people will like your pictures. And now, you know, you can post a picture, you look depressed, and say, you know, talk about how vulnerable you are, but you know, you post it online, people like the picture. But to me, I was telling them, like, all these people are liking your pictures, right? But when, excuse my language, but when shit hits the fan and you're really down, how many of these people are actually going to be there to really lift you up? So it's just trying to take them away from that perfect perception world and bringing them back to just to reality. That's it. And just be consistent just within their lives.
Oh, I think that's excellent advice. Go ahead, Jennifer.
I was just going to ask, what is the number one question that kids ask you?
You know, well, the number one question they ask me is what NBA team I played for. No, I mean, they do ask that question. But the real question they ask is just, you know, how did I discover what I wanted to do? And when I discovered what I wanted to do, like, what were the steps to get there? And, you know, I always tell them, like, it wasn't an easy road. You know, I did a bunch of different things at an early age. But, you know, I went after what I loved and went after what made me happy and made me smile and brought peace to my life. And then when I found that thing, which was basketball at the time, I just tell them, like, you know, every day, you know, that I would wake up in the morning, there'd be days I didn't want to get up. You know, there'd be days that I didn't want to go to practice. There'd be days that I didn't want to eat healthy. And, you know, there would be some really bad days, but within those bad days, there were also good times. You know, just for them to understand, like, whatever you choose to do in life, understand that road is a long road, but you have to enjoy the process. You got to enjoy the moment and the opportunity in the moment, and just make sure that every day is a new day. The past is out the door, and you're just looking towards the end road, and you just got to make sure you work hard every day, do everything you're supposed to do, and when things get hard, you just can't quit. You gotta fight through each and every little bit of adversity. So
exactly. That's great, because a lot of kids, you know, that's the thing, that they feel lost, or they may not be getting the positive attention from their parents. Their parents are busy. They're trying to just make a life, and
it's great
you're willing to, you know, step out and show them in so many different ways. They are really special, and they can find what they love.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's a big thing, too, with these kids right now, is just that, I think it's a big thing that they don't really have examples. You know, a lot of kids don't grow up with, you know, the examples in their life of, you know, what it means to, you know what a value of a dollar is, or, you know, what it means to be successful, or what it even looks like. So just being able to show these kids, I think it just opens their eyes a little bit, and when I can relate to them a little bit from just like my life story, and you know, I can bring other younger individuals around them, I think it allows them to see success early, and earlier at a younger age. So
that's awesome.
The kids that you work with, they are basically in Arizona? or you're all over the country?
So I travel. I travel and speak all over the country. My program that I'm running right now, so I travel and speak all over the country. I mentor people from all over, from all the way to Melbourne, Australia. And, yes, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. But my programs that I run, which is my IMC growth program, which is like a nine-month program, I run them in Arizona and high schools out in Arizona. And then I do mentorship out of Arizona as well, one-on-one coaching and things. And I also work with a college out of California, Cal State Fullerton as well. So it's been an interesting road, but it's been fun.
Do you find that one topic is more prevalent? I mean, I know you talk about leadership and you mentioned earlier life after sports, but you've got other, like the one I like is finding your why.
Yes. That's probably my favorite topic because I feel like it's something, it doesn't matter how old you are. I think it's just something that you need to have because it gets you up in the morning. You know, it gives you that spark. It allows you when you don't want to finish that paper, you know, you want to finish writing that last sentence, it pushes you to write the last sentence. You don't want to lift the, you know, weight or do an extra 2 minutes on the treadmill, it pushes you to do the extra 2 minutes on the treadmill or eat the right food. So that's probably my favorite topic to talk about now.
If Jennifer and Lynn and I had not gone searching for our why, we wouldn't be talking to you tonight.
That's right.
Honestly, because, you know, it's just the way it worked out. The universe kind of led us together.
That Carrick has said the word be unique four times tonight.
Really? So, you're keeping score?
I love it. That just tells me that he's a be unique guy.
Yes, he is.
Man, that's so funny. Well,
so
thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
We are so happy that you joined us. You're just a delightful human being, and you're very inspirational.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. I mean, I know you guys. I know it's late over there.
It's probably 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock is bedtime for me. Now I sound like the old one, huh?
Yeah, but I bet you get up a lot earlier than I do.
One of my questions was give us just a taste of your day, like an average day for you.
Average day. So let's see. I'll just give you a little taste of pretty much today of just what happened. So I got up this morning, 5 o'clock. You know, I do my morning routine, shower, eat, meditate. I didn't go to the gym. Meditation is the key. I did not go to the gym today, unfortunately, just because I had a pretty busy day. But so let's see, starting at 8 o'clock, I start going through emails, kind of getting stuff ready for the programs I run, and then from 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock, I run a program at a high school. And then from there, I jet over to another high school, and I do one-on-one coaching with a couple students, around 45 minutes apiece. And then that lasts till about like 2:30, 3:30. And then I jet over to another school, and then I run a program, like an after-school program for about 50 to 54 kids. And then that goes for about an hour. And then after that, I usually go home. Like today, I went home, rest for a little bit, and then I ended up just creating some new content, meeting with my video guy. I had four different phone call meetings, including this one. Four different interview meetings, and then yikes. And then to finish off the night, I'm getting ready to actually go to one of my buddies' Bible studies, and then I will be heading home, packing, and then I'll work on some more content, read a little bit, and then I probably will go to sleep. To be honest, I don't really sleep, guys. So I probably will go to sleep around probably 2, 3, and then wake up again at like 5, 5:30.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we are running out of time. So, Carrick, would you quickly, in the next couple of minutes, tell everybody where you can be found?
Yeah, so you guys can go ahead and find me on Instagram at Carrick_Felix. That's Carrick_Felix on Instagram. You can also check out my website at imcfamily.com. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is Carrick Felix IMC, which is being updated, but you can just check out my content on YouTube, on Instagram, as well as my Facebook page. So.
All right, and Mary and Jennifer, y'all will be on again next month, correct?
Yes,
yes.
Ma'am. And we are scheduled to have...
Who will be your guest next?
Joe Rock from Orlando's WMMO station.
Whoa. That'll
and
be
he's
good.
A character.
He's a different caliber, but just as charming as Carrick Felix, let me tell you.
Oh, boy, that'll be a whole lot of fun. And, ladies and gentlemen, that will be on, y'all help me out, March the what?
21st.
Okay. So we will be back with
February.
And February
is a short month. Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Real quick, Mary or Jennifer, tell the folks where they can find the Be Unique magazine.
I will.
Sure.
Be Unique magazine is online. We also have a print on demand, but I recommend you go to the online version at www.beunique.org. It is animated and interactive. And
it's completely free. So at any time, 24/7, you can hit beunique.org and you'll find Be Unique magazine. We also have a online show, and if anybody wants to see Tim Fox, who sent in some awesome questions, he's on a lot of the different episodes, and so coffee or tea, and all of our social media is at Be Unique magazine. So if you type in Be Unique Magazine on all the platforms, especially YouTube, you will find us. So
and
I'm
also,
really
this show will be linked to that website too as well, correct?
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Okay, now, you have about 1:10 left. Do either one of you three have any short words of wisdom
I would love to hear from Carrick. I think
I'll leave it on this note. In life, things happen. We, get stepped on, go through hard times, and sometimes, it doesn't feel like we're getting anywhere. It doesn't feel like we're getting to the end of the tunnel. So if that's you and you feel like that, just know that there's more. Know that you have value. Know that you're beautiful. Know that you're capable of anything. And all you have to continue to do is just push through and push forward, and you can do anything you want. It's just one step at a time. And again, things happen for a reason, a season in a lifetime, and you just have to continue to follow your path and just see everything out. And I promise you, if you just do the right things every single day and put in the work and put a smile on and bring in positivity, have abundance, and just be grateful, all things are possible.
And with that, Carrick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they're going to cut us off here shortly. So, Mary? Tell the folks one more time.
Be Unique bunkeke.org. That's bunkeke.org.
And with that, ladies,
on that note,
we tell you good night.
You need some justice. Good night.
Good night. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
I appreciate
so
that.
Thank you so much, Carrick.
Nah, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
We'll link this. Once it's up, we will link to you. I'll text you and or email you or something, and I'll give you the link to this recording.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
And
yeah,
if you
Mama
are in there, I'm sending you a hug.
Okay, I'm sending you guys a hug as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We really enjoyed this.
I enjoyed it, too. You guys have a good night. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've already subscribed to him. I'm his first subscriber on YouTube.
All right. Okay, so what I'll do is once we get off of here in this thing archives, I will, Mary, send you the link. I'll tag you in
okay.
it on Facebook. And
okay.
then tomorrow I'll put it up on all the other sites, and I'll send y'all all the other sites so that you can put that up there as well.
That'd be great.
Awesome.
Okay,
I'm
very proud of you, ladies.
Inspire and motivate change. Well, thank you. Thank you. We worked a little bit ahead of time to try to make sure we didn't talk over each other, and I still do.
Well, it's
going to
happen simply because it is the nature of this beast, but it's all good. And the more y'all do it, the more comfortable you'll get with it, and you'll be able to pick up on each other's thoughts without even saying anything.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I am just delighted that Tim Fox was with us. That was so much fun.
See? Life is good. Now I'm going to get off of here and shut this thing down so that we can get it up in archives.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.